Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Reveille, reveille, reveille!
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today we have three rounds in the magazine. Round number one, there's articles all over the joint. People are losing their damn minds about these nuclear classified documents that have allegedly been stored at President Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence. We're going to talk all about that, and we're going to give you some balanced takes, right? I think that's what we're going to try to do, because this news, it's like a lot of these places, the first time that they've ever really covered national security. It's interesting to see. It's almost like, you know, when a veteran is involved in a crime of some sort and they'll be like, oh, this guy is sniper trained. And it turns out that they were a marksman on the rifle range, and they're having all these crazy terms about it. And we're going to try to break it down a little bit, Barney style, to actually let you know what was wrong about what was going on and some of the investigation that's happening and where we can go there. But we're also going to remind you in round number two, we're going to remind you about the top other six biggest classified leaks in U.S. history. Some of them I'd even forgotten about, and some of them I'm not sure how I felt. I think
number four is my urethra after I had the baby.
I don't think
huge leak, piss everywhere.
That's true. Yeah. How were you after a baby with incontinence? Were you okay?
I can't. Yeah, every time you guys make me laugh, just know I'm peeing myself a little.
Incontinence.
A lot
there.
Of leak.
So we're going to have some of the six biggest leaks. Whenever we were in, I think that's when Snowden and Chelsea Manning, when their leaks happened. Even at the time, I know I should have cared. I never really looked into it a lot.
No, like
I
was just like, eh. I read the headline, that's about it.
I know I should care, but I was like, eh.
Even this Trump one, I know I should care. I just really don't.
I just don't. Like, in your, I mean, obviously, I think it's bad if there's nuclear secrets getting like sold to other places or shared with other countries. That's clearly bad.
Allegedly.
But there's just been so many things over the last couple of years where I'm like,
I'm sorry, did you just say allegedly?
That's what Chap said in the beginning of the show. I wanted to point it out.
Oh, I did.
Okay.
It was cute as a button.
I didn't say allegedly. I said allegedly.
You know why I think I don't. Like, I look at these bigger leaks, my PFC brain is like, the only thing my PFC brain cares about is how bad we would get roasted if we accidentally lost our cat cards or some dumb shit like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, these guys are going to get away with these huge whatevers, and we would get fucking roasted if we lost our damn cat cards.
There was one of the articles that I was laughing about, or a tweet, when people were like, this isn't that big of a deal. And it's like, well, then why did Petraeus get a felony? Like, if it's not a big deal for what happened, he had it in his desk, like all this different things happened, why was his a big deal? I think you got to take it, because they're right. Like, everybody's saying, if you were a junior troop, or even not a junior troop, if you're a general, anyone else in government, and you have classified documents at your house, you're probably getting in trouble for it. Like,
but
you just
especially if you're a junior troop, that's the part that I always just circle back on and get angry about.
Yeah, but it's not really a good barometer, right? Because junior troops gets fucked for everything.
Junior troop Kate doesn't give a fuck what makes sense.
True.
I'm just mad.
And finally, round number three, there's a lot of ballyhoo that's going on about TikTok, because some of the information that's coming out about what they're doing with all this information that Kate and I are freely giving it every single day, turns out might be bad for the country. The reason why I saw this is because there's a dude, I forget what his name is, but he covers military matters, and on a more intellectual level than we do. That's probably why we don't ever really use him on this show. But he was talking about, he went on TikTok and went for military live. And he said at any given point did this on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, at any different point, he could find at least 20 to 25 accounts that were currently live where the military member was wearing uniform while they were live. So they knew that they were on base. They can figure out all this different shit. We're going to get into a lot of the information. Turns out they can do retina scans. They can do thumbprint scans, fingerprint scans, all that kind of stuff through the app. It legit, I thought about it for a second. Should I delete this app? My answer is an unequivocal no. We're going to get into that in round number three. And all that today is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Whistlepig. Sometimes you just like to kick back after a long week and pour yourself a tall couple fingers of Whistlepig. I do. And I got my own very own Uncle Ham the little drink spout thing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh,
the,
yep.
That has like the American the flag spout. Top hat, like Abe Lincoln or Uncle Sam got that bad boy. Cardi thought it was the funniest thing ever. It's like you're drinking whiskey puke. And it's like, that is true. Like pig puke whiskey, but it's very good. It doesn't taste anything like pig puke at all. Has no, got nothing no. to do with
Let's
pig
clarify.
Puke.
There is no pig puke. It's just a cute little bottle stopper and you pour the whistle pig out of the pig's mouth. It's adorable.
Yeah, yeah, nothing to do with pig's puke, but Thank it is you. Delicious whiskey. It's 100% rye. It's made with the spiciness of rye that is a perfect cocktail summer mixer. And fall's coming up too, so you're going to be able to have those by your bonfires, sitting out and watching things just burn like the world. It's going to be beautiful. Go to whistlepig.com, get your own whiskey, whether that be rye, or if you're just a syrup head, go get some syrup because they got some of that too. Kate has some on her desk and it's wonderful. Make sure you get your own bottle, or just go to the link in our YouTube. You can visit there as well. You're going to love this whiskey. Make sure you get one. Shout out Whistle Pig. All right, let's get going with the actual show today. Kate, what do we have going on? Oh, wait, before we do that, last week's episode, we did a little bit of OnlyFans goofing.
Yes.
Kate has an announcement last week, just on Friday show. She was at 3,500 coming in a month. Kate, where are we sitting at now?
I have 544 fans and my balance, my pending balance is over $6,500 so right now.
What is that deposit to your account?
Once a week, apparently it goes in. It hasn't even been a week yet, so I don't know. I sent all my boys, all my fans, a little morning message this morning to give them a good Monday. It's real filthy. I said, hope you filthy McNasty little meat bags have the worst day ever. Blah, blah, blah. So if you want to get rock hard, listen to my messages, please. Also getting a lot more dick pics. What I like is a lot of the guys now ask me, they're like, can I send? They ask me first, which is very polite. And I tell them, you can send them. I don't open them. So you can see, though, the fuzzy outline. Open them? Well, you've seen porn.
You've seen plenty of dicks in your day. We all have.
They're fuzzy. And I said, I will rate them
through
the fuzz. So guys now are sending me their dicks, and without opening it, I tell them what I think of their dick.
Yeah.
And a lot of the guys are like, I'm like, this one looks skinny, but it looks like you probably need to clean your floor a little. Uh-huh. And the guy was like, you're not wrong. That's pretty accurate. I gave it a 6.4. So if that interests you, at Katie Money Grabs.
But
OnlyFans.
I think you say that you're going to do it fuzzy dicks, that you're going to join. I think that also makes their real life partners a little bit appreciative, because you're not sending a fuzzy dick pic with even more fuzzy pubes. You're knocking that shit down. You're not throwing it out there. You got to go clean there.
But anyway, yeah, you can send them my way. I have been posting, I've been messaging with people, and I'm making a lot of money over there. So
more importantly, what are we doing with this money? What's happening with it?
So a
don't
portion
say
of
anything
it,
noble, please just say I'm keeping it and buying beats.
I actually donated a good amount of money to, there's this UK Phillies fan, this Brit who loves the Phillies, who has this account. And through Barstool Philly, I donated a good chunk. He's running a marathon for, Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh,
so
this
I donated
is the worst
a good
thing
chunk.
I've ever heard.
I know.
This is just awful.
That's like, listen, you need to realize, like, you have a family. It's okay to make money and support your own family. You don't mm-hmm. have to give it away just because it's additional money that is mm-hmm. now coming in.
Oh, not giving it all.
Don't be peer-pressured into being a donator. We don't need all
that. Yeah.
I just feel like for what I'm doing for my own soul, I need to be giving some of it away because it's egregious that people are spending money to hear me queef, you know, make a queef joke. I also have one more update from the weekend.
Okay.
That is the most absurd. I get updates from my Aunt Peggy. We've talked about her. I lived in her basement for a while after I got
Party Pig. Yeah, we're all
down
familiar.
In Delco. Okay. She's got a house, a condo in Wildwood, New Jersey. And that's like mm-hmm. the Jersey Shore. Okay. Every now and then, out of the blue, I get a text message from her, and it'll be like a photo of the dolphin in the water. And she's like, if you zoom in, these dolphins just got done mating. You could see the tip of the penis sticking out of the water. Like, I'll get an update like that.
I like that. Yeah.
I need to get it
on those texts.
I got an update from her this weekend. That I'm gonna hold this my phone up to the screen.
Can't really see it because of the background.
Oh, her phone number's there.
Oh
yeah,
oh, shit.
I'm
okay.
just kidding.
Oh no, it's not.
You can just read it.
Let me preface it this. It's the sand. It's a photo of the sand with what looks like an enormous amount of melted chocolate ice cream splattered all over the sand.
On the
now,
sand.
Let
okay.
me read you the text. Yes, that is human shit on the beach. Some poor woman was rushing to the bathroom, but it started running down her leg as she walked. Aside from being plagued by the accompanying smell, it has provided great entertainment as we watch people almost step in it as they walk to the water.
That is a good time, yeah.
We do call out to protect them, but there have been a few who stepped in it. Hand on face emoji. Mike says, I'm sick of taking this picture. Aunt Peggy, I love you so much. Why didn't you guys cover up the duty? They just sat there. This woman shit the sand.
That's not their responsibility, Kate. You can't. What are they, fucking beach cleanup? So now every time Aunt Peggy goes to the beach, she has to be on poop patrol? That's not fair.
I'm just saying.
It's just like kitty litter.
This one big enormous. I should show you guys the photo. It's an enormous amount of shit spray all over the sand. It covers about 10 feet of space, which the woman was running as she shit.
Send it. We need to see
and
it.
This is exactly why we don't like people coming from Pennsylvania to our beaches. We would love if they just stayed in Pennsylvania.
How do you know if this Jersey.
You think that's a Pennsylvania pooper cons?
People from Jersey don't go to Wildwood. We have more pride.
It's a pretty classic Pennsylvania move. I'm going to have to back up cons here.
Thank you.
I mean, if you haven't heard the old wives' tale of the Pennsylvania pooper coming to Wildwood, you haven't been to enough bookshops in that area of the world. I'll tell you that.
No self-respecting Jersey person goes to Wildwood.
Yeah, they don't poop on the beach.
You guys are missing out. That's one of my favorite.
Where's this, Kate? Did you send it, Kate? Where is this picture?
Yes, I sent it to the group chat. It's the poopy spread all across the beach.
Okay.
It's
a pretty solid spread. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid spread. It was like 10 feet in front of their beach chair.
And I thought it was going to be on like the fluffy sand. It's on the compacted tide sand.
Yep. They really. Mm-hmm. Also, that's
like linoleum of the ocean. It's just
this
there.
Poor woman. If I was that woman, why wouldn't you run into the ocean?
Good point, Kate.
Like, why would you run up through the beach chairs through everyone? While
literally
you're
millions
yourself?
Of animals poop in there every day.
Tons of animals,
and nobody says boo about it.
Did you know that jellyfish poop from their mouths, and whale poop can be pink?
Let's move on to round number one. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Mar-a-Lago. I will say, one of my favorite aspects about this story, have you seen the pictures of like the supposed classified documents that are in Trump's toilet at the White House? Have you seen that?
I have seen those. Yeah, but I haven't zoomed in enough to see what they actually say.
I haven't either, but I zoomed in a little bit. You can't read what it says, but it very clearly looks like his handwriting because he has a pretty distinct style of handwriting, which looks almost like the seismic movements of plates and tectonic plates whenever he writes his name. So that part made me laugh. Like, you're the president of the United States. You don't have a shredder. You got to go to the fucking toilet like you're a fourth grader. I love that move.
And lest we forget, paper doesn't really flush all that well.
It does not. No, it does not at all. Good point, cons. Let's move into round number one and figure out what's actually going on here. I made a combination of this round from different sources in New York Magazine, the Wall Street Journal, and the Washington Post. So we have basically a centrist type of organization. We have what some would say is leftist, and then we have some say that is a righty. So we basically pulled from all different schools
not
of thought
the same orders
to try to figure out where we're going to be at on this thing. Kate, walk us through what's going on at Mar-a-Lago.
Okay. Mar-a-Lago. Not Mar-a-Largo.
What is it? Mar-a-Lago?
Allegedly.
Mar-a-Largo.
Mar-a-Lago.
No, there's no R there.
There's no R.
This isn't Lago. The Florida Keys. Yes.
Lago.
Lago. Okay.
Mar-a-Lago.
Nailed it.
Okay.
So,
by the way, I found out this weekend I say baklava weird, apparently.
Oh.
I've been saying balaclava.
Did you know that baba ganoush is made from eggplants?
Yes.
Now I
had no idea. I went to this lovely tapas place, like baba ganoush. I was like, I'm not in the mood for dessert. I thought baklava was baba ganoush.
My favorite kebab place has a great baba ganoush. I got takeout the other week. I've been getting takeout from this place like every week for the last year. There was a roach crawling on my
lid. Oh, no.
I know. And so now I can't. Even if it just fell from the Uber driver's car or whatever, like now I associate that place and it's ruined.
Nothing changes an entire situation like one roach leg.
One little roach leg. Because there's never just one. Like,
imagine
being
a roach and thinking like, oh, I'm just enjoying my life. And then one of your buddy's legs gets thrown into a salad and everybody fucking hates you and your entire family for it.
Yep. It's tough. It's tough out there.
It's sad being a roach. All right, let's go. What's actually happening here?
On Friday.
Mar-a-Lago.
What if we just kept going on tangents and never make it to where we're going?
That's essentially what we do for
what
a lot.
The show is.
Yeah.
Anyway, on Friday, less than a week after the FBI searched Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home, it was revealed that federal agents were investigating potential violations of the Espionage Act and that they had found multiple top secret documents. The warrant used for the search was unsealed after Attorney General Merrick Garland announced Thursday that the Justice Department had filed a motion to do so. Trump's attorneys did not object, but they declined to share the warrant after they were provided with a copy and a receipt of seized items following the search. Meanwhile, Trump has continued to rail against the FBI and Justice Department for their actions, as have Republicans in Congress. But what does this warrant say, folks? The search was related to potential violations of three laws. One, the Espionage Act. And that's one of the laws that concerns the concealment, removal, or mutilation of classified documents. Second, gathering, transmitting, or losing materials. And third, that would be the one I would be guilty of if I was president. I'm just a
not malicious. You just lost it. Can't find
just
it.
Just shit everywhere. Post-it notes with top secret codes.
Lost the nuclear codes.
I didn't know. I wasn't.
That's our Crew was going down to Mar-a-Lago. And
finally, third, obstructing an investigation into these matters, the Espionage Act, which governs classified info whose release could harm national security, has been used to prosecute both foreign spies and domestic leakers, from Daniel Ellsberg to, I love this name, Reality Winner.
The warrant, just recently got out, too, I think. I think she just got out of jail.
The warrant, which does not list Trump by name, does not accuse him or any other individual for breaking the law.
That's essentially what a warrant is. Like, yeah. It's because they suspect you broke the law. Of course, they didn't say you did it. You broke the law. That's what they're there for, to see if you did.
What exactly did the search find? Attached to the warrant is a receipt of property that lists what the FBI took from the premises, listing dozens of entries with 11 containing classified materials. There are four sets of top secret documents, three secret and three confidential.
Mm-hmm.
And now we'll get into the, what does this mean? Classification levels. I remember when you were in the military, like it was kind of like with our stupid McMap belts, like, oh, I'm a green belt. Oh, well, I'm a brown belt. Like these little things. Oh, well, I only have a whatever clearance. Oh, I have a secret clearance. And if you knew somebody who had a top secret clearance,
what was the bigger one in the MP field? Kate, do you remember what the biggest one, the biggest classification was? Yankee White is what it was called.
Oh, Yankee
White. And that was when you had the ability to have a weapon around the president.
Yeah, Yankee White was the hot patootin. If 23-year-old Kate could have a beer with a Yankee White holder.
Well, you have, my friend. This guy.
Oh, discard. Never mind. Immediate take back. Yeah. No offense. Yeah. Just out of respect.
But it did feel cool whenever they give you the little badge that allows you to bring like weapons on planes and shit, like even domestic flights. Once you have that level of classification, you could bring a pistol on a flight if you want to.
And does that expires or no?
Yeah, it expires. It doesn't have an expiration date, but it expires. Like it's, I think you're supposed to turn it back in, but it expires whenever you get out.
And these levels make you,
but can last 10 years. So if you got, if I got out and then I got another job that required that clearance, that would last for another
transfer's
10
over.
Years.
Got
right?
it.
Yes. Yeah, these clearances cost the government a good amount of money to do these searches, like doing a pretty intense background search on you. I know when I had secret clearance, then you have to go into these buildings where you have to go into a cage and leave your cell phone and there's no like windows and blah, blah, blah for certain things. And
the skiff is what they call it
the skiff is what they called it. And like if you took cat cards or anything out of the skiff, you would like pretty much go to the brig. Like there was no, so they do take this shit like, even just at our level, which I was probably never around anything that interesting, but they still took it incredibly seriously. So
I had to do one. So my very first time I went to a top secret room is when they were bringing over the Secretary of State. I was trying to remember last night who it was, but I couldn't remember what Secretary of State. I was a Lance Corporal. I'd been in Okinawa for like 4 or 5 months at the time. And we had a Secretary of State visit coming, and dog handlers, whenever you do that, they come in and you have to know like the route and all that shit. So in order to be part of the team that decided where we were going to sweep and what areas we were going to look at, they let us know the route that the Secretary of State was going to be taking once they landed, where they were going to be staying, what hotel, what room, what wing, and all that stuff. And so you have to go into this little room that somebody else is like a sentry that's guarded. You have to show identification. They like put it up because a lot of times when you're showing military ID, it's like you flash it and they're not looking at it. This was a place where they're like having it beside your face, looking at you, looking at you to make sure that you're the right person to go in. And whenever I walked out, knowing the route of the Secretary of State, even though looking back, it's not like a big deal at all. Whenever I was leaving, I was like, they are trusting me with some national secrets over here.
Well, it's anytime you have information that other people don't have. It doesn't even matter how insignificant.
Still feels cool.
Feel special.
It is, yeah. Even when you know stuff at work, it's not top secret. Like, you know something before an all-hands meeting. You're like, well, guess who's got the skinny on this?
But they do. And we're obviously, there's a difference between confidential secret and top secret paperwork and top secret clearances for personnel. But I'm just trying to get across, like, they really did, even at our levels where we didn't have anything that crazy serious going on, like, they still took all that shit crazy serious.
In reality, a lot of this type of documentation, you could have us three read it, and we don't know what the fuck they're talking about anyway. We'd be like, it's one of those things where you know all the top secret information. Can you do anything with it? My answer would be unequivocally no. Like, even if you gave it to me, I wouldn't be able to recount anything. I wouldn't be able to.
Not to mention,
I wanted to sell the nuclear secrets, if I had them, I wouldn't be smart enough to tell you what those secrets were.
Well, I was going to say, I don't even know where do you go to sell these secrets? You can't just like throw
probably
it up.
Probably Reddit, honestly.
Like, probably Reddit.
Like, tweet like, hey, I got some nuclear codes, and you know, Snapchat. Hope somebody, the right person, responds.
Well, the lowest level confidential, it's info whose release could damage U.S. national security. So say I'm the president and I take a photo of my I have an OnlyFans. I'm president. I have an OnlyFans.
Right.
But people are paying for. But this one accidentally gets out on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It was confident. It could damage national security because people now are looking at us like we're not that serious. The designation secret refers to information that could cause serious damage to U.S. national security. Say the photo of my tits, I had a tattoo that had the nuclear code on it. Okay, now we're getting a little more serious. The designation top secret means the disclosure of the document could cause exceptionally grave damage to U.S. national security. There's also an arrow pointing to my left nipple, which is the button that sends the nukes.
Mm-hmm. The nip nuke is what they call that.
If that photo got out, that would be probably the top secret.
And then within these different classifications, there's also like modifiers, I guess. So top secret, you'll have your top secret clearance, where if you have top secret clearance, you're allowed to see things that are top secret. But there's also designations inside the top secret where it's top secret nuclear, where it's top secret, where it's only the nuclear information. And you're not allowed to get that unless you have the nuclear caveat of your clearance, and on and on and on. Every single thing, when you're president of the United States, you're able to see any level of classified communication that you want to when you're president. And you have the ability to start the declassification process. It has to be approved by others as well. But this declassification process is what Trump was alluding to, that he declassified. And we're going to get into a little bit of that later on. But first, I want to go into what they were actually looking for. Now that we've established what the levels of classification are, let's move into what they were looking for when they went to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah. So Attorney General Garland said during remarks on Thursday that he would not explain why he personally signed off on seeking a search warrant, but that the department does not take such a decision lightly. And that's where, like, everyone's saying, well, he just doesn't like Trump and that's why he did it, blah, 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 like, whatever. I don't pay attention to enough of that shit to know that I feel like there's, at that level, they probably have to do more shit than just have a petty grudge than to pull something like this. So I feel like there is like legit
and
to
it.
But
I almost think from a logical standpoint, because this clearly, I mean, Garland is a smart guy. He was on the short list and probably should have been a Supreme Court justice. He has been a middle of the road, moderate person for his entire life. He knows without a shadow of a doubt, when you authorize or when you seek a search warrant against a former president of the United States, that the politicalization of that decision is going to be beyond anything that we've seen in a long time. So you have to make sure that your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed. I would imagine every single thing they made sure multiple steps along the way, because if you make a mistake here, it's political suicide. And you could have a majority of the country like, what the fuck are you doing? You better make sure that you're correct whenever you do this.
Yeah. And the affidavit filed by investigators to get the warrant in the first place remains sealed. And so that I would be very interested to see like what set this off in the first place. According to the New York Times, at least one Trump lawyer signed a written statement following the pickup asserting all classified materials at Mar-a-Lago had been turned over. Indeed, Trump associates have expressed shock over how cordial interactions with the Department of Justice ended in a raid. But according to the Wall Street Journal, sometime after June 3rd, a mole in Trump's orbit told the FBI that the former president's team was still withholding information. In the following weeks, someone familiar with the stored papers told investigators there may be more classified documents at the private club after the National Archives retrieved 15 boxes earlier in the year. FBI officials were able to establish probable cause and obtain a search warrant from the magistrate judge in West Palm Beach. The New York Times reported Thursday that the material in question was so sensitive that Department of Justice officials felt they had to take the politically explosive step of raiding the former president's home.
And they also, from what I read, because of the level of classification of these documents, they had to get a particular set of agents that were able to even go read what could have been declassified, because they have to confirm that this is the information. So they had to have FBI agents with the level of classification to even go in and see these secrets. So that was a difficult task in order to get those type of people too.
Also, I can see the vibe. I feel like people are thinking like that whoever's doing this raid is like, all right, it's finally our time. They were probably like, oh, God damn it.
Oh, yeah. This is not one you want to be on. And we've seen some of the fallback
it's
after.
It's a weekend. We just, the old guy keeping documents in his attic. God fucking damn. You know, like, anyway.
Yeah. I have to believe, though, too, and I'm completely speculating here, I have to believe he's not the first president to hold on some documents after he's left office.
Oh, I'm sure.
But because... you know, and sensitive documents, too. I can't imagine this is the first time that a president has done this. But it's like you make I think you do make enough enemies and you're as boisterous as he is. And people are more willing to look into it, whether you did or not, and whether or not you did take something super classified.
Yeah, they actually went back in some of the articles that I read and were talking about this. And did Bush do this? Did H.W. Bush do this? Because he had a shit ton of classified information that was credited to him because he was the director of the CIA too. So whenever they talked about that, they said that President Obama, whenever he was leaving office, that he went through the steps through the National Archives to declassify any of the documents that he wanted and was ultimately taken to the presidential library for him. And lots of presidents have classified information at their presidential libraries, but you're supposed to go through this proper sourcing where they redact certain information. And that's kind of the problem that we're seeing, because some view it as a positive that Trump doesn't really operate underneath those same principles that most presidents or every other president has since the foundation of the presidency. He doesn't look at it the same way. So they are trying to figure out how damaging is this going to be? And the answer is, I'm not sure we're going to know. And if the classified documents are at the level that they're saying it is, I'm not sure we'll ever know. Because how are they going to tell you what level of classification documents were in these without showing it to you? So it is always going to be at the center of this issue. Do you trust the government or do you not? And I think half the people in the country are saying we do not trust the government in any way, shape or form. And half are saying, let's see what they have to say.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's hit that. What was the guy talking about, Dave, the other day, who said he's hit that velocity where with his own fans, you really can't take him down.
Oh, and I mean, Trump said that when he was running. I could shoot somebody in Fifth Avenue.
I don't think Trump could do anything. If anything, every time stuff like this happens, I think it just makes him stronger with his own base. The former president was the first to break the news of the raid on August 8th. It's probably to him, it's probably a best case like scenario in some ways. Releasing a written statement that evening in which he attempted to frame the search as unjustified, politically motivated by the Biden administration and Democrats. As more details have emerged about the raid, Trump and his allies have made a number of additional claims. Trump and allies have maintained that none of the documents taken to Mar-a-Lago were classified because Trump, as president, had orally bulk declassified everything he wanted to take home.
It's all unclassified.
Before leaving office.
Yeah, it's all unclassified. Don't worry.
Expecto declassifacto.
Right. Yeah. And so many people have posted the GIF of Michael Scott from The Office saying, I declare bankruptcy, but just I declare declassified, which I think makes a lot of sense. But when you're president, I think he was operating under the same rules that when he was president, because remember, there was a time where there was two Russians that were in the Oval Office and there was information given out. And the intel community was like, well, technically, as president in the Oval Office, he can't give away classified secrets because he has the authority at that time. Mm-hmm. If he feels like it's needed to give away some of that information. You do not have that as former president of the United States, like your executive privileges that you had. And we're seeing that with January 6th, where as the executive, you have executive privilege where a lot of your communications are protected. You don't have that as a former executive because that executive privilege falls underneath the blanket of what President Biden can declare. So if President Trump is like, I declare executive privilege while Biden is the current president, he's like, no, executive privilege does not apply because I am the president.
Yeah. And of course, Trump has repeatedly attacked the FBI and Justice Department, alleging that the search was improperly conducted, insinuating that FBI agents planted evidence, which, again, that will take off big time with his fans. And that will be a big fuel boost. And then complaining, this part, I do understand the rage. He complained that agents made a mess of his wife's closet.
Right. Yeah.
Melania is very
organized.
You don't
want to deal with that. Plus, your wife is bitching that her closet.
Seriously.
And I can't imagine that closet is just haphazardly thrown together. That's something that you painstaking because she's got a lot of nice shit.
That would bother me greatly. As a disorganized person, when I finally get organized,
I understand there's nuclear codes here. But what are you doing with my pocketbooks? Like, how am I supposed to dance around these with the ladies?
And knowing Melania, she wouldn't let anyone hide stuff in her in her stuff. That's a closet is a space you don't touch. Mm-hmm. Anyways, his allies had followed suit the night of the raid. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy vowed to investigate Attorney General Merrick Garland's handling of the matter if GOP regains control of the House next year. One Florida lawmaker went as far as calling for the state to sever all ties with the Department of Justice immediately. The FBI arrests carrying out law enforcement functions upon site. And I feel like both sides are guilty of this. Like whenever they were looking into Hillary's emails, the right was like, that's what the DOJ is for, baby. Fucking get her. This is legit. And now it's the other way. And they're like, the Department of Justice is a bunch of traitors. Like, and both sides, like whatever side it's happening to, the other side's like loving it. And when it's happening to them, whoever's investigating them is no longer legitimate. It's like, it's just the
calls to defund. I mean, Dan Crenshaw got into a lot of heat. The far right folks are calling Dan Crenshaw the biggest cuck in the history of the world because he said that whenever you say things like defund the DOJ, you're no longer looked at as a serious person when you say defund the FBI and defund the DOJ, which I would agree with. Like, you're not going to get rid of the entire law enforcement division of the United States government.
Yeah,
like,
it's not going to just poof, disappear.
Talking about, like, on its face, that's statement. Absurd.
Yeah.
And,
go ahead, Cons.
No, I was just going to say what Keith said about this just invigorating his base is absolutely true. And then on the other side, they're on this mission every day. People wake up and they're like, how am I going to discredit Donald Trump today? He's a classic narcissist. If everyone, and I know this is, you know, this is impossible, but it's almost like if we just ignored him, maybe he'd go away and he wouldn't be as annoying. Now I get it. He's probably gearing up, unfortunately, for another round here.
I thought that same thing about hemorrhoids, Con. It's not working, my friend. You gotta fucking treat it.
You gotta treat him. But it's like, what's the treatment, right? It's like if we ignore him, then it might not go away. But if you go overboard, then you're just reinvigorating his base even further. I don't know. It's just really rocking a hard place type thing.
You really do run against that dichotomy too of, yes, we know what the reaction is going to be from his very loyal 20% of the United States base. Like, they're not going to think that he did anything wrong whatsoever. Mm-hmm. To me, as somebody who is liberal, like watching the news of him getting investigated and having the FBI and DOJ show up to his place, I felt almost like that gif of Andre the Giant where he's like, whoa. Hogan's coming and you're like, okay, this might be a crime. And I understand that we have to investigate these crimes, but you realize the hornet's nest that you're about to kick. You better make sure that honey is worth the hornet's nest.
Exactly. Not to mention like the fiscal implications of conducting this raid and what that will cost just to, you know, have this mission go through. It's just,
but if you really are like if some of the reports have said, really are sharing nuclear type secrets or high level secrets with different adversaries from around the world, You absolutely have to investigate. You have to.
No, you're right. If he is, if he has shown other people, I agree. But also, he's probably sitting on information
stuff. But like, even if you're just sitting on it, if you're improperly storing it, remember that crazy lady who tried to break into Mar-a-Lago, that tourist woman? Like,
yeah,
there are crazies out there. You can't just keep whatever side of the fence you're on. Like, you got to be so careful with that kind of info.
And when I heard safe, like, it's stored in a safe in a closet. I'm,
so
what kind of
Tommy Lee sex tape?
What kind of what kind of tape are you guys are safe? Were you thinking whenever you heard safe? Like, I'm thinking one of those safe with like, you got to scan your eyes. You got to like, if it's this level of secret. No, dude, it was like one of those safes they have in a Holiday Inn Express in like a nice area where you're going down to the beach and you don't want the cleaning people to steal your watch. Like, that's the kind of safe it was in. They popped it open in 2 minutes,
You gotta have a better safe there. But also, too, the other thing with the nuclear codes, forgive me for not being well versed on our nuclear codes and how we handle those. I have to imagine
you're not
those
allowed,
get updated.
Cons.
Yeah, that's true. I have to imagine, though, those get updated frequently. So it's not like the nuclear codes from 1986 are still the same ones today. Like, if he has some
or
nuclear codes,
are they? Because
we
they
don't
would
know.
Think the enemy would think we'd update.
We're out, yeah.
They're probably really rotating like every 2 hours, I'd imagine. But the secrets and what our nuclear capabilities are, one of the, I read this, and this is the reason why we don't use a whole lot of journals, like academic type of journals. One of the academic journals was saying that Saudi Arabia has been attempting to find ways to circumvent nuclear weapons, like to have a surface to air type of missile that has its own nuclear charge, so it could blow up a nuclear weapon in the sky and not actually have it fall down on people to create mass hysteria and all that. I don't want to know what's going on with the nuclear world, but all that seems real bad, and hopefully they figure it out. And I hope it's the most transparent investigation that we've ever had. I think it's one of those things, except for the secrets nuclear, obviously, you have to say almost jot and tittle what's in those documents. You have to.
Yeah, I agree with you, because then you take a little fuel from the fire that people are like, oh, they were going after him just because they had a political agenda or they wanted to bring him down. If you tell us a lot more information, it's a little
but how if it's classified, like if it's no, that important to go after a former president, it's got to be pretty important materials and you can't say what it is. Like, that's the part that's going to make this a no win as far as public opinion, because they will not, if it is true. They will not be able to say what's in those documents. And without saying what's in those documents, the American publics are going to be like, oh, they didn't really say what was going on in here. It might not be that bad. We don't even know
if
it's that
bad. We have to gaslight the Department of Justice. If you guys really love us,
like that,
you would tell us. If you really cared about us, you can trust us.
It's that old playground adage where it's like, oh, I know, but I'm not telling you to make sure you know.
Right.
Yeah, I know what the teacher's middle name is, but I'm not going to tell you because then you'll know.
What's next then? I guess they're going through all the info now. And if they find anything, what does he get charged? Like what?
Yeah. And the odd part is under the Espionage Act, it's because of what happened with Hillary Clinton. He actually signed off an upping of the punishment. So if you violate the Espionage Act, it can carry 10 years in prison per count.
Yeah.
I mean realistically, probably nothing's going to come of this. If I had to guess, it's just, you know, a news story for a little bit. And I understand the importance and why they needed to go in there and raid him. But ultimately, what do you think would even come of this? Because I don't see him going to prison.
I don't see him getting convicted no matter what in the United States. Because think about the rules of federal court where you have to have a unanimous agreement amongst 11 people. You're telling me that through the voir dire process that these attorneys are going to be looking at different jurors and selecting people without knowing their political background? And I think if you do that, having a clean sweep of 11 jurors all saying guilty for somebody like Trump, who has like essentially a cult behind him, impossible. I don't know how you do that. They almost have to go after a plea deal because I don't know if you convict him. I think he was right what he said when he was running for president. I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and my supporters wouldn't leave. I think it's that same type of thing, that they aren't going to admit that they're wrong, because that's human nature, right? Like this is such team-based politics in America now that it's almost impossible to have another side be like, we admit that we're wrong. It's just not going to happen. Not going to happen.
You're right.
Interesting.
That's crazy. But that's not the only big type of leaks that we've had, and I don't even know if it is a leak, can't say for sure yet, but we want to do that in round number two. Before we get in round number two, it's brought to you by our good friends at Simply Safe. Is there anything that matters more about your safety than your loved ones? Of course not. So it isn't strange that when many home security companies don't act the way that you should, you want to get them out of here. That's not going to be something that you have to worry about with Simply Safe, because I trust them. I use them and have used them for about 5 years now. Their advanced safety technology helps me sleep at night, and they've always put me and my family's safety first because they have 24/7 professional monitoring. Simply Safe agents let you call the moment they call you the moment there is a threat, and they dispatch police or first responders in an emergency, even if you're not home when you can't be reached. Simply Safe's monitoring agents truly care about your well-being and are highly trained to help keep you safe and calm during stressful situations, staying on the line with you until help arrives. Simply Safe's customers first policies make sure that you're taken care of with affordable plans starting at less than a dollar a day. No long-term contract or hidden fees, because feeling safe at home shouldn't break the bank. I love this. I mean, even when I'm on like planes and stuff like that, I'll come back after being gone and be like, oh, somebody left a package at your door, or I'll get an alert, things like that. It's just unbelievable having that peace of mind. Make sure that you go to simplysafe.com/CBT. You can get the perfect home system in just a few minutes. Go today and claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off with interactive monitoring. Go to simplysafe.com/CBT. And remind you that there's been a lot of other classified documents that have floating around, and we're still okay. So don't be too nervous. What do we got for round number two, Kate?
Round number two, the old Pentagon Papers. Well, we're talking about the biggest leaks. Round number two, starting off with the Pentagon Papers. 1971, the New York Times published sections of a top secret DOD report on the country's involvement in Vietnam, dubbed the Pentagon Papers. It talked about how the Johnson administration and others, like, knowingly and, like, I don't know, I guess maliciously, not the right word, but they misled Congress and the public.
Oh, I think maliciously is the right word, because I mean, you had a draft going on, tens of thousands died.
Yep. Misleading the public who was sending their babies over there to get slaughtered in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Misled Congress and the public about the causes and the progress of the Vietnam War. And I remember reading about this when, after I got back from my first tour in Afghanistan, I was very much like, man, what my friends and family are saying, like, no, and what they're seeing in the news is, like, not the way it is. Like, we're not making, like, I feel like the public's being misled, blah, blah, blah.
And no, I'm like, oh, I've told that story before on the show, and I'll tell it again, though. When I was, you know, our senior year, we had, like, a panel of journalists come in and speak to our class, and one of the questions one of my classmates asked was, hey, my brother's in Iraq right now. He's building schools and doing all this great work, but I don't ever see that on the news. How come? And the journalist very plainly said, well, that's not our decision, because we send all of the stories home, and then the editors decide what's going to be on the news that night. And what ultimately decides that? Ratings and money. Mm-hmm. And it's not what's the best story. It's what's going to get the most ratings. So, I mean, that's the American public's never going to get the full story.
Just and a lot of times the media is smart enough to not follow that rabbit too. Where you're like, oh, check us out, we've got this school that's getting built. Don't worry about that drone that we just dropped that killed 35 civilians. I mean, there's a lot of that goes on as well. And
what I was saying,
access is huge.
Yeah, I felt like it was painted as more positive than it was. I was like, we're not accomplishing really anything. The schools are nice, but we're not doing it. This is a quagmire. And then, I guess I just really related heavily when I was like reading about the Pentagon Papers and how the public gets misled to, you know, support a war for 20 years. Okay, Katie, easy, old gal. Anyway, the report was leaked by anti-war activist Daniel Ellsberg, a former DOD analyst working for the RAND Corporation, who stole it from the Pentagon and sent copies to the Times. The Pentagon Papers publication fueled the anti-war movement and sparked a debate over the freedom of press to divulge classified info and the public's right to know about government affairs.
And I think this is important too. Like, the Pentagon Papers was obviously pre-social media. When something like that got published, because now you could find salacious information about the government online, you could find it anywhere. Then in the 1960s and 70s, that was not the case. Like, things getting published like this really threw the world for a tailspin. Mm-hmm. Not just the Pentagon Papers, but from around the same time was also the Watergate scandal. Kate, walk us through what happened there.
Yeah, the Watergate scandal, one of the best known leaks, of course, Richard Nixon's presidency, June 17th, 1972, five men were arrested for breaking into the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee at the Watergate Hotel Complex in D.C. and installing illegal wiretaps. Again, if they had used red moonbeams, this mm-hmm. wouldn't have happened. Put mm-hmm. the red filter over your flashlights, people.
Yeah, and if you want to be real careful, red and blue.
Yes, red and blue. The men were linked to a fundraising group for Nixon's 1972 reelection campaign, but the Nixon administration denied any involvement. Later in 72, the Washington Post reporters Carl Bernstein and Bob Woodward exposed the administration's role in the scandal and cover-up. Their key source was an informant named Deep Throat. How disappointing for so many teens mm-hmm. when they looked into what that was. Mm-hmm. And it was just a political thing. Was
Google
later
that
revealed
at work.
To be former FBI agent W. Mark Felt. A series of Senate hearings nailed the lid on Nixon's coffin, and he resigned from the presidency in 1974, the first president to do so. The Hutchinson letters. Leaked letters played a role in the lead up to the Revolutionary
this
War.
This one was one I had forgotten about. I did not remember this one.
Oh, long time stoolies, the Hutchinson letters. Mm-hmm. In 1772, discontent was brewing in Boston because of unpopular legislation like the Stamp Act. Thomas Hutchinson, the royal governor of Massachusetts and a loyalist, wrote a series of private letters criticizing colonial leaders and calling for stronger British military presence in Boston. In December, a political opponent of Hutchinson leaked the letters to Ben Franklin, who was living in England at the time.
And he was like, oh, what?
Oh, what the fuck is this? Franklin passed the... And back in that day, Hutchinson
probably wrote
that letter. Stop
electrocuting a goose for Thanksgiving. And who, oh, what?
Oh, what? What? By the time the letters finally crossed the sea, got to England, blah, blah, that Hutchinson guy probably forgot about the letters. And it was probably like years later. Ben Franklin gets a hold of him. He passes the letters on to some radical friends in the colonies. So then back over to the States these letters go. Hutchinson
this is
has
an
moved
8-month
on.
Process.
He's all on right. vacation. He's on Cape Cod with his wife. He's
You're
having a
still
pina
mad
colada.
About that? That's what Hutchinson said. No, I said that shit in passing like a year and a half ago. What are you talking about, Ben?
Finally, these letters get to the Boston Gazette, who published the letters in June of 1773. So a whole year later.
And how did they get two sources, Kate?
I know. They spurred public disgust for Hutchinson, who had to flee to England. So Franklin's actual intent in sharing the letters was to dissipate resentment of the British by shifting the blame to Hutchinson, but it backfired. Franklin was sent back to America, where he would help found the fledgling United States. So it all worked out for everyone in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, banana, banana. The Iraq war logs, and we're not talking about the MRE poops here, people.
True.
The so-called Iraq war logs were just... And then I'm thinking warlocks.
Yeah,
warlocks.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. The so-called
not
Iraq...
butt cheeks. We talked about that the last show.
Mm-mm. Warlocks or boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Iraq warlocks. Mm-hmm. Just one of many leaks made by the nonprofit organization WikiLeaks, founded by Australian journalist and activist Julian Paul Assange. Pretty interesting. And I don't know enough about him, but he's a creepy guy, right?
Oh, yeah. He had a lot of poop going on at his house, too. Remember
yeah,
that?
Big time creepy guy.
There was a big story that came out where he was staying at his hotel, I think in the Ecuadorian embassy. And whenever he did that, he had a cat that didn't have a litter box. And this cat would just rip shits all over the place. It got so disgusting that Ecuador was like, please, please let him leave. We don't want him here anymore. He's stinky cat poop guy.
Whoa. Yeah. Well, in October 2010.
And that's when he was dating Pam Anderson. She's a stinky cat poop woman.
Oh,
forgot
for sure,
about that.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
forgot
definitely
about
singing
that.
Cat poop woman. Mm-hmm. In October 2010, WikiLeaks published Army field reports from 04 to 09 that listed the number of civilian deaths as 66,000 out of 109,000 total recorded deaths. The leaked logs confirmed some partially reported events. For instance, some American troops had been classifying civilian deaths as enemy deaths. Actually bad. The Iraq war logs represent the largest leak in U.S. history. And then that is too, like, where you feel torn, like some of the info release could put troops in danger, could put people in danger. And at the same time, really bad that this stuff was allowed to be covered up. And there was such lax oversight on such important matters. And like, oh my God, you know?
Yeah. And there's a lot of this stuff that really affects people, even from what the Trump investigation and what's going on there. They were them giving over to Breitbart and other conservative media outlets the actual names of the FBI agents who were conducting these searches and the judges' names very dangerous. And then you see a day, I think a day later, there was an attack on the FBI field house in Cincinnati where the dude who ended up yeah. dying because of it. But yeah. so many more threats against DOJ personnel and FBI officials. It's a dangerous game. It's not just some fucking politics game. These are people's lives who signed up to defend the Constitution and they're getting attacked.
Yeah. ClimateGate, named in the Watergate tradition. ClimateGate refers to a controversy in the fall of 2009 in which hackers leaked thousands of emails and documents from the Climatic Research Unit, CREW, of mm-hmm. the University of East Anglia, UK. The documents appeared to show scientists suppressing the publication of research undermining the existence of global warming. Even though an investigation later revealed no foul play was afoot, the leak added fuel to the global warming debate. And again, this is the thing where, like, transparency is the key.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to info, you can't do that. Because even if it's not like you just, yeah.
Which obviously. Is why, I mean, the CDC kind of had that this weekend where they had withdrawn their 6 feet of distance mm-hmm. and all that kind of shit.
And, yeah.
And people were like, that shows that the CDC was full of shit the whole time. No, it shows that they're changing their opinion as the science changes. And based on the amount of people who've had COVID and the amount of people who are vaccinated, their risk is no longer as high. So they changed their fucking recommendation. To me, that's a good
different
thing.
Than ClimateGate. That's very right. Different.
No, I'm saying that transparency is important. And even when you do transparencies in a modern world and you are as transparent as possible, people be like, ah, see, we knew you're fucking lying, even though if you're doing things completely above board.
Yeah, yeah. You're lying, even though 2 years ago you had a lot less information and data to go off of, but you're totally lying. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, maybe they just figured some things out. And
the last one, they actually made a movie about it on Netflix, and it's really, really good. What's that one, Kate?
Operation Mincemeat. Not all leaks are about exposing the truth. Some are about deception. Such was the case with Operation Mincemeat, a leak planned and executed by the Allies during World War II. The plan was intended to make the Germans think the Allies were planning to invade Greece and Sardinia instead of Sicily. The Allies put fake top secret invasion plans on a dead body that was left to wash up on a beach in Spain. I'll volunteer to be the body. You guys can make me. Wait a minute.
That process of finding who was going to be the body was extreme, yeah. too.
Mm-hmm. The Allies put a fake top secret invasion plans on the dead body. It washed up on the beach in Spain. It worked. The Germans found the body, copied the fake plans. The trickery made the Germans suspicious, so they ignored the other real intelligence plans, thinking they were ruses. So
it's awesome, too. Like some of the stuff that they did, because they had Churchill and all of them were read into this operation of what they were going to do. And they put certain aspects in this leaked document that was fake, but they implemented them. Like there were certain things they're like, okay, well, in Belgium, we're going to do this. And that's going to give them a clue inside the letter that everything was accurate. So they were doing fake operations to make everything look beautiful. Then they found it. And that's the reason why a lot of D-Day was successful, is because mm-hmm. of this previously planted information. Fucking Ooh. Nuts, man.
Yes. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
All right. Let's move on to round number three. And round number three is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Rocky Boots. If you're going to be one of those boots on TikTok, make sure you're doing it knowingly. And we're going to have you know what's going on TikTok in the next round. But if you're a boot, you need to make sure you're wearing the best boots in the biz. That's what Rocky Boots are. No matter if you're going hiking or hunting or camping or being in the military or being a first responder, working construction or just working around driving Ubers, whatever you do, make sure you're wearing Rocky Boots because they are very, very comfortable. They have drainage vent technology. So if you're out there in the water and your boots get all wet, they're going to drain just like the jungle boots did back in the day. If you're going to be out and about, make sure you're wearing Rocky Boots so you're covered. You could do that on the cheap too, because they're going to give you 25% off. Go to rockyboots.com and the promo code ZBT at checkout. You're going to get 25% off the boots from Rocky Boots. They're the best boots in the biz and they should be on your beautiful, beautiful tootsies. Let's get going with some TikTok chat. Hey, now that we've gotten all that out of our systems, we're going to talk a little bit about TikTok here, because I mean, to be honest, I feel like anything that's involving China or Russia or really any other country, there's going to be a certain element of political thought in America. There's going to be certain aspects on news that are like, oh, this is bad for national security. And the whole time I'm going through TikTok, I'm like, but it is funny cat videos. Like, that's all I'm worried about is these cat videos and people falling, people getting hit in the dick. That's what I like. But that's how they get you. Right, Kate?
I mean, it is brilliant to create, like, you know what, why don't we create this app that the whole world uses and we can have their info? Like, that's brilliant. And at the same time, like, I do think about Well, I should be smarter and I should care more about what, like when I picked the baby monitor, I was really careful. I really did my research because there's some baby monitors that can be hacked where people can watch your baby and they can talk over the thing and they can like the internet. So I went with like a real simple
one. Why do people
do
that? No, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm being naive, but why would you do that?
Because you're a predator.
Psychos, dude. People are just psychos. Right. So, because they can see into your house and that, like, whatever. And so I was like but when it comes to my own self and my own apps and my own whatever, I'm normally just like, nah, fuck it. I don't have they're trying to look at me.
Do you authorize cookies from this website? Sure thing. Oh,
I've never
do you want to track me app? Track me, buddy. I don't
track
care.
Track me.
You did a great job developing this thing. Track me away, daddy.
Friggin' yeah. Alex was using one of our laptops the other day to watch BK Tube. Who the hell knows what BK Tube is? But all these pop-ups and everything's coming into the computer. I'm like, those are viruses. She's like, well, whatever. I have to watch Love Island UK. I was like, okay, like, how can I argue with that?
That's part of me is like, who am I? What the fuck do I care if they're watching? Like, that's bad. I know that's bad, but like, I do want to see.
And we're going to find out just how bad it is, Kate, because there are some other congressmen that I was watching talking about this because TikTok recently made some changes in their user agreement with Apple and government officials are freaking out about it. And even President Trump, when he was in office, tried to get TikTok taken off of Google and Apple stores. And we talked about it at the time. We were like, that's going too far. Maybe it wasn't like after he might have been right about this one, because let's go through some of the things that they're actually able to take. It is fucking terrifying.
Yeah. So I think is this Associated Press?
Yes.
So new reports in the U.S. have raised.
No, I'm sorry. This is from the Wall Street Journal.
Ah, got it. New reports in the U.S. have raised serious questions about whether the Chinese government has access to American TikTok users' personal data. Yet Apple and Google, which run the two largest app stores, seem unconcerned. Of course they do.
Because they're getting fucking banked.
Yeah. Leaked audio of TikTok's internal meetings obtained by BuzzFeed contradicts the company's sworn testimony to Congress last fall that U.S. user data is managed by a world-renowned U.S.-based security team.
It's actually the same security team that was involved with Woodstock 99.
Yes, they were very, the peace crew.
They're very good, yeah.
Same guy. BuzzFeed reports that American staff could not access the data on their own and had to ask Chinese colleagues where user information was going. Oh, you get China, so you can trust us.
Red flag emojis.
Red flag emojis. The China-based engineers had access to non-public U.S. user data from last September to January of this year, according to BuzzFeed. They reported that in the recordings, the vast majority of situations where China-based staff accessed U.S. user data were in service of halting the flow of American data to China. Sure, Jan, but the fact that Chinese engineers had this access presents a national security risk. If a tech company operates in mainland China, the Communist Party can easily gain access to its data. One way is through China's data security law, which allows the government to regulate private companies' practices for storing and managing info in China if they collect core data. And that's core data is a super broad term that means anything that Beijing sees as a national or security concern, which to them is probably everything because they just want to see everything. TikTok said shortly before the BuzzFeed story broke that its default storage location for U.S. users' data would be routed to the Oracle cloud infrastructure. But if Chinese engineers can still access that content, they could easily store it in mainland servers, even unintentionally. The report details...
I don't think there's a thing about it that's unintentional. All this shit is by design.
100%. The report details a number of TikTok's trust and safety department saying in the fall 2021 meeting that everything is seen in China. Worse, an unidentified director referred to a master admin based in Beijing who had access to everything on the app. There is a lot the Chinese government might find valuable in the data TikTok collects about American users.
Okay, and so this is where we're going to get into what actually is in it. And your dick is going to fall off your body when you hear it, because it is extreme.
According to the company's privacy policy, it collects consumers' real-time location, search history, and biometric data. Your fingerprints, your facial imprints, when you do the face scan on your phone. Such information.
That's why all the apps are so good at like having the face filters where it changes you into a monkey or whatever. Mm-hmm. It has to really, really scan your face in order to get that.
Such information is invaluable to create identity profiles, which hackers sell to the highest bidder in Chinese black markets to commit identity fraud. Or the Chinese government could use the information it forces tech companies to provide to access Americans' federal employee records. Government-sponsored hackers could create accurate scans of stolen fingerprints to help crack a two-factor security system.
That entire paragraph you just read is extremely scary.
It's terrifying, right? Like, of what they could have. And I'll shout out to Kyle, our old producer. He used to fucking say TikTok's dangerous.
Yeah, he did.
And even worse, TikTok requires the use of your device's microphone to collect voice prints. Without access to TikTok's source code, which only the company possesses, it's hard to know what the app does with the permissions it's given. But there is evidence that it records even when you're not using it. TikTok users report that Apple's app spying feature, which alerts device owners when apps access your microphone or camera, pinged them about TikTok accessing their mics when the app was closed. If TikTok's access is expansive as that implies, the Chinese government could use the smartphone as a listening device. Now, if you recall, chaps, we went down to DC, the whole ZBT crew, and we got done a meeting, and I believe it was Representative Kinzinger's office or something like that. And we leave the meeting. They were about to have some kind of national
Molten,
security.
Because it had all of those different coins on the table.
We leave and we go to the bathroom and we're on to the next thing. And I come out. I'm like, guys, I lost my phone. I think it's in that other office where they were then having this meeting. And it turns out it was a big deal that I had left my phone. And then they had to check my phone. They had to make sure.
Because they were having a meeting that required a clearance to be involved in.
Yes. And so they had to, ended up being this whole big thing and had to get my phone checked out, blah, blah, blah. But what if any one of their phones has TikToks and they can still be listening on anyone's phone kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Like our troops, anywhere you are in the world, they could maybe be listening and watching you. Like, what?
This changed my entire perspective on what I would allow if I was a leader. Like, based on this, I don't think if I was a company commander, if I was a battalion commander, I'm not sure if I would let my troops have their cell phones. I think I would have a way for them to, like, a fro line where they can contact somebody, like, in comms and, like, S6 or something like that for a unit where if something major happens. But other than that, if you're doing real world stuff, I'm not allowing anybody to bring a cell phone. Period.
Yeah.
You mean to like training or like what
I think
mean?
Anything training sensitive matters. Like if you're gonna do like, because remember seeing the January 6th, one, it's just because I think, and I'll speak for all of us, we're all dumb when it comes to IT stuff. But watching the January 6th committee and watching the heat maps of the different cell phones of where they're going. Surely somebody high up at a different country, if you are able to establish a certain unit, how your movement goes, how you do tactics, there's got to be a way for them to really dive in location and figure out things that are nefarious that could really end up fucking your unit over. And I don't know if it's paranoia, if that's a level of paranoia, but it's not a risk that I would accept because it's one that you could easily mitigate by having no one have their cell phone.
Well, remember, they made us back in the day. The big thing was posting photos from deployment on your phone, and it had all the location data.
Like, yeah, anyone could click your phone. The running apps that they would have, like the Track My Run or whatever. There's so many different things that show your actual GPS location.
People were accidentally showing the exact perimeter of their outpost by doing those Track My Runs. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they have, I mean, these are like 10 digit grids now where it'll get you within like a meter of where somebody's at. So I think that there could be a lot of stuff that goes on here. I feel like I'd be a fuddy-duddy now if I was in charge. You're not bringing your cell phone with us. I'm not getting fucking killed because I want to be cool so you can upload on Instagram.
Yeah, but you're right. It's rather a better idea to just err on the side of caution than potentially something bad happening. I think I might agree with you. I haven't given thought to it. Yeah.
You do sound paranoid when you say it, but where
you do because you start to sound like it's like, why would you do that for your unit? Like, what makes your unit that important that they're going to target your unit? Now, granted, like there's probably some special operations communities who might have some valid concerns based on the types of missions they're doing, but you know, like a run-of-the-mill Marine or Army unit, they might think like, oh yeah, there goes First Sergeant Chaps.
And there's real world examples now, cons. Like what for us covering the Russian invasion of Ukraine, for example, we saw and laughed at Russian troops who were known, their locations were known because of TikTok. Like TikTok, the app itself, they were posting different things. We knew exactly where their location were based on the percentages of troops and things like that who have TikTok accounts. We not only know where they're at, but what the size of the units that there is and what their manpower was. That's incredibly dangerous. And if we could do that, some dickheads on a podcast, surely the other big countries in the world could figure that out.
Yeah. Speaking of that, did you see that video? I can't speak to the validity of it, but apparently it's a Ukrainian soldier just walking into an outpost for
Russian
soldiers.
No, you have that backwards. Ukrainian soldiers are walking into a bivouac site, like a campsite where all the Russian soldiers are bedded down. They don't say shit. And essentially it's like that old knock with a muzzle on the fucking old grape of these Russians. And they're like, wakey, wakey, we got a lead snakey here that's ready to pay you a visit.
Jeez. And they cut it out.
From what I've seen about that conflict, those fellas probably aren't getting marched off with three hots and a cot, I would imagine.
It depends.
I don't know. You think Ukraine, you know, adheres to the Geneva Conventions?
I think a lot of, from what I've seen on TikTok and things like that, again, TikTok, there's been some atrocities on both sides. Clearly, what the Russians are doing is worse. Like, there's been videos of live castrations and shit like that that are happening and popping up on social media sites as well. But I think, I mean, and put yourself, the human element is not something that we talk enough about. If you're a Ukrainian and you've seen what they've done to your people, it'd be hard to have that moral courage to not do the wrong thing. It really would.
Side note, they were Bellingcat, this incredible investigative reporters, were able to use, talking about that Russian who castrated the Ukrainian soldier. Mm-hmm. I know that's intense to talk about. They were able to, using that guy's social media and this and that, they were able to track down exactly who did it. Like, they know his name now.
The person,
there's a target on his back from, and again, social media is a huge part of this stuff, making yourself easy to track, blah, blah, blah. So it does have real life implications. Trump issued an order in 2020 to ban TikTok from the US markets, and then Biden rolled it back last June. I don't know why, because now that I'm reading this shit and I'm like, oh shit, like India has banned, they're beefing with China, and India banned TikTok in their entire country. There was 200 million active users in India. But because of the border dispute, they were like, nope, we're fucking out. And now they have their own TikTok. Like, what's stopping us from doing something like that?
But it's kind of,
I'm
like,
sure
what
it's
Chap
very
said.
Complicated. I don't know.
I think it's kind of like what Chap said, though. Like, everybody in this country, they opens their TikTok app and they're not concerned with national security. They're just like, you know, everybody never reads the terms and conditions of what they're sharing or what they're agreeing to share and what sort of access.
Nobody does.
Except instantly.
Yeah, everybody just swipes right through.
Kyle reads those, that goddamn
nerd. He definitely does. I bet you Kyle like saves up like 3 or 4 sets of terms and conditions of new apps that he's downloaded and saves them for Friday night. And that's fun Friday night
poops
for Kyle.
That's what he poops with. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Instead of scrolling through TikToks, he scrolls through the problematic reasons for having TikTok.
But I say all that to say that, like, how are you going to get these hundreds of thousands and millions of users to say, like, hey, guys, this could be a national security threat?
I think the only way you could do it is banning it, and you're going to figure out a way to get around it.
The teens would riot.
Oh, the teens will figure it out.
I'm tired of the teens.
As somebody with a 17-year-old, I put that Google Family stuff on Kelsey's phone when she was like 14 that limits the amount of screen time that you can have, the amount of times that you could spend on particular apps, and TikTok was definitely one of them. She figured out with her friends a way to get around that family thing in like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And I was like, how did you do this? And she was honest. She was like, well, you have to turn it off, hitting both buttons on the side. And then when it comes in, you do 3 clicks and that brings you to the main screen. And then you do an open and that's the way you go. And then you have no restrictions. It looks like there's still restriction to your parents. And I'm like, how the fuck did you guys figure this out? But you don't know how to set an alarm to wake up for school. Like, you can do all this stuff, but I still got to wake your dumb ass up every day. That's the reason why I want to get rid of TikTok, because my kids stay up too late.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Alex does the same thing at night. She's just, I'll look over and that screen is just like Scrolling.
The reason why Kate came to work the other day with 1% battery life because she was scrolling TikTok and the nighttime cash share.
My phone can be dying. I'm on the train home and I need it. And I'm like, but I still got to check out one more TikTok. It's sad. Mm-hmm. Apple and Google are pretty indifferent. They're raking in the money. They truly do not give a fuck.
And that's the reason why we're not going to do this. I feel like don't be on TikTok. And if you do, know that they have your retina scans and they have your fingerprints and all that shit. Just be careful when you're out there. That's your safety brief, your OPSEC safety brief for the day. Lots of OPSEC stuff going on. Hopefully when we come back on Friday, we'll have a different, more happy type of show once again. But
wait,
what?
Can I tell you still? It's not the most popular social media app in the world.
Oh, what is? Weibo?
It's still Facebook.
Oh, wow.
Followed by YouTube, then WhatsApp, then Instagram, then
WhatsApp's
Facebook
not social media. I'll never accept that. That's just texting and video sharing, like through a text message app. That should not count.
I don't think that's social media at all.
Then Weibo, then TikTok, and then two I haven't heard of from other countries.
I'm not even sure if I would classify YouTube as social media. Right? That's like a new legacy media place.
People are commenting. People have their own little worlds. There's like...
The commenting aspect of it, I think, makes it social.
All right. Well, that's it. Let's move on to some save rounds and alibis, which today are presented by our good friends at Cross Country Mortgage. When you're about to face the intimidating process of buying a home and you need the best support from the most qualified people available, you're going to take your ass over to Cross Country Mortgage because they have a team of experts that are dedicated to helping you accomplish your mission of buying a home. They have a team of loan officers that are dedicated straight to you, and they can close a home in little as 21 days, which is ridiculously fast. They've also got a wide variety of loan types, which means they're able to cover everything, whether that means you're buying a new, if you're a first time home buyer, if you're a veteran in the home buying game, or if you're trying to refinance or do like any type of those fancy type of loans, a gap loan, bridge loan, all kinds of loans. You don't even know what those types of loans are. That's okay. Our friends at Cross Country Mortgage.
With or
without the scooter stick. Exactly. Absolutely right, Kate. Go to crosscountrymortgage.com/barstool so Cross Country Mortgage can take care of you through the home buying process. Equal Housing Opportunity, Cross Country Mortgage LLC, NMLS 3029. All loans are subject to underwriting approval, NMLSconsumerAccess.org. Let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Nicholas, what do you got, pal?
Yep, for save rounds, so if you just listened to the last round and you don't care, Zero Blog 30 is on TikTok. So
and we don't care if you do care.
If you don't want to do it,
that's on you.
And it's spelled
we're not
out.
Your parents.
It is spelled out, Zero Blog 30. So please catch us over there. I'm also on TikTok and I'm just getting frustrated over here as a save round because I'm just putting up these masterpieces, getting tons of views. No one wants to follow me. And that's just my little vent. But
and you should follow Nick because he does these when my wife is gone for 2 minutes, WWE series. And they're one of the best series going. Mm-hmm. You need to follow.
That's one of the best things on the internet for sure.
What's your handle on TikTok so they can follow you, Nick?
At Nikki the Good.
Nikki the Good. There we go. All right. Mm-hmm. Cons, what do you got, pal?
Yeah, we talked about the whiskey stopper with the pig from Whistle Pig. Uncle Hammy. I think that's for those who are adults listening to this. I think a wine stopper is a great gift because there's so many different ones out there, more than just like a little a monogram one. There's all these different ones. Like I have one that's an army guy. That's a great gift to give if you're looking for a little small thing. Yeah. It's very cool.
I agree. If you're going over to someone's house, bring a bottle of wine and a cute stopper.
Or a bottle of Whistle Pig and a cute stopper. It's almost that's our presenting partner, guys. Let's go with whiskey.
You could do that for sure.
Touché.
You could even get the Uncle Hammy one from Whistle Pig. You could even do that.
True.
I was listening to another podcast who I'm not going to name because we don't support anybody else. But they were talking about the Kennedys, and I knew the Kennedys were extremely, extremely wealthy, but I never attached a number to the amount of wealth that they had. So they mentioned how much money they had in 1960. I did the adjustment for inflation. They had $5 billion. They were sitting on $5 billion in today's dollars back in 1960. I guess I had a nice little spot
in Newport.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, the compound kind of makes sense. All the different houses everywhere and how everybody never really had a job and they just kind of always did other things.
We should have known. JFK Jr. had a plane when he was like 30.
Yeah.
That's pretty rich.
I'd say so. I'd say so. All right. Last thing. I have an Am I the Asshole that I've been sitting on and I've really been wanting to share it with you guys.
Okay.
Okay. I was in a city and I was looking to get a pair of my shoes shined. I didn't have, polish with me. I couldn't do it myself. And I'm very particular. I'm actually, hand up, I'm actually really good at shining shoes. So it's a very good skill that I take pride in. So I'm very particular about what my shoes look like. I think shining your shoes when you're wearing dress shoes is very important. So I go to this place and they're like, oh, okay, cool. Take your shoes off, which was my first red flag. And I hand them over and I guess they like ran them through a machine or whatever. It came back and the shoes looked like they had been shined with a Hershey bar. They just looked like absolute dog doo-doo. And he's like, $10. I'm like, guy, like they look worse than when I gave them to you. And it was $10, which I don't know, maybe because I had been so many years getting my shoe shine in New York City at places that were like $5-6. So I was like, so I gave him $5 because I thought he did a crap job, but I was like, all right, you still did something. So I gave him $5 and I left. Am I a jerk for only giving $5, even though it was 10 and they did a crappy job?
No, I feel like that's one of those industries that if you're, let's say you're a cleaning person, you go over to somebody's house and they throw you your shoes and you want them to shine those shoes, you're getting what you get. Like, that's just part of it. But if you're a place that has this specialty skill, you better do that specialty skill correctly.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Because then otherwise other people, if you don't point that stuff out, other people are going to get fucked up. It's like how I give great tips on bad wax jobs.
Oh, yeah. Kate would have paid that same guy $20, no doubt.
Oh, easily.
I always think to myself how many other women I'm probably screwing over who are about to get their pubes ripped out the wrong direction.
Or your fucking hair, Kate. Like, you'll go to a haircut place, pay like $250, and then crying in a Harris Teeter about it.
How many $60? How many texts have we gotten about bad Kate haircuts that she hates? That she,
every time she gets a haircut, even if she does it herself.
I'm trying to grow out what I did to my bangs right now, and I've been wearing hats for like months and months. I thought I was ready to grow my hair out, my dye job out, and go natural for the first time since I was like 14 years old. I've been dyeing my hair since I was like 14. When I was younger, it was like wacky colors, like maroon, black, like orange, whatever. And now, like, I've been using it to cover my grays, but the last year I haven't gotten it dyed and my hair is going all gray. And now that it's all gray, like on the side, I'm like, actually, I'm not ready to be all gray yet. I want to do something. I'm just seeing these ladies with like blue hair, purple hair, green hair. And a little part of me is like, I kind of want to be the fun, colorful hair mom on the playground. But then I know I'll freak out if I do it and I'll hate myself. So
what about if you do like an ombre where it's not like a full hair dye, where it's like, she's got a little bit of purple streaks in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe she's a wild card.
I'm just hitting that I do every like year or so where I hit that. I got to do something crazy with my hair. Like that's where I'm at again. And so I need
stay
to
stay out of the kitchen, Kate. No more kitchen shears.
Kitchen scissors, bangs. But I'm thinking about doing that.
I mean, me and Chaps both can empathize. We get it.
I went to the Jersey State Fair this weekend up in Sussex County. I don't know if it was the state fair or if it, because it wasn't that big of a fair. It was not. Wow. But animals, people forget. They're out there. You just don't get to be around animals a lot.
That is
true.
We were, Cash was going up booping all these sheep on the nose and there was ponies and pigs and you just kind of forget. I'm not around animals a lot. It was just a real treat. Alpacas, very soft.
And that part of New Jersey is awesome. I mean, up there in the northwestern portion of New Jersey, it's complete wilderness.
Yeah.
More or less.
You're out there. I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, I didn't prepare. Yesterday, I drove him over an hour to get to this park that was at capacity by the time we got there.
Explain that to me. Why are parks at capacity? How does that work? You're outside.
It was such a huge state park that I was like, there's no way we'll be fine if we get there. Nope. There was state police you couldn't even turn into the park. And it was like in the fucking boonies, like out near the Appalachian Trail. Like we were out there. And I didn't know where
to take Brandon Walker ran into that same problem at the beach. He couldn't go to the beach because there are so many people. And they
No, that's because North Jersey fucking sucks. And they literally don't let you on the beach after a certain time. You have to pay to get on.
No, that's not true either. That's not true either.
No, stop.
I'm not going to give you bad information. You're not going to give bad information. You got to pay for the beaches anywhere in New Jersey. It's not just the North Jersey shore.
But
beaches.
North Jersey has people on, like there's like gates you can't even get. At least in South Jersey, you can sneak on, pretend to be asleep when they come through check. In North Jersey, it's like gatekeepers. You can't even get to the beach without these dickheads.
How do you think we keep the beaches so clean? We got to pay people to keep them clean. That's how you do it.
I've done plenty of cigarette news. Butts.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You're the person we hate. Good news. Veterans are on get on beaches for free in New Jersey. So what are you crying about?
Well, we storm Normandy. I think we'll be able to get on whatever beach we want.
Look how disgusted it is about this Jersey Shore Talk chaps.
Anyway, I guess I don't have anything else. At Katie Money Grabs, OnlyFans, hit me up. I'm addicted. $6,500.
All going into her pockets and not giving a dime to anybody else. Gotta love that from Kate. My save rounds, I had to go suit shopping. I texted Cons and it was the worst day of my life. I fucking hate suit shopping.
It's so much fun.
We had to go. So I had to buy two, like one for a gala that I have to go to. But this one's kind of fun. I'm going to this gala for an organization called Texas Equality that is designed to help LGBTQ people. And because of that, my wife was like, now listen, a lot of the people going to this are going to be gay folks. And you know, the gay dudes, they dress fancy. So you can't just be going in there in some blue or gray suit or you'll look completely washed out amongst everybody else. I got this jacket. Buddy, it is fucking fire. I'll text you guys a picture of it after we're done, but it is gorgeous. And I went in, but I also had to get a regular suit. And my wife is making me try on like 30 different sizes, like seeing how it fits. Cons, guess what size I wear? Can you guess? Let's see how good of a suit guesser you are. What size suit do you think I wear?
I would say you are either a 40 or 42 regular.
42 regular. Excellent work, Cons. The 44 I'm swimming in, the 42 is just right. 44 long is just a little bit too long, so I went with a 44 regular. Got to get taken in a little bit. But I did all that. One of the reasons why I want to give him a shout out, my stepdad died last week. I talked about it about 18 months ago. He was diagnosed with brain cancer after being on the USS Enterprise in Coral Sea, which has a lot of Blue Water Navy folks that are suffering from cancer and things like that. And it's not lost on me that he died 2 days after the Pact Act was signed. And I think that that's an incredibly important thing to remember of how much the Pact Act is going to affect people. My mom has had to fight tooth and nail every single step of the way to get anything done for my stepdad. So I want to encourage you, if you're listening and you're a veteran and you haven't signed up with the VA, do it. Even if it's not for any type of compensation or if it's not for a disability or anything like that, just to be put in the system. My mom had to go through unbelievable steps. It's not about you all the time as the veteran. And a lot of times we think it is like, oh, it's my healthcare. It's all this stuff. Doing this makes it easier on your family at the last stages of your life. So make sure that you have everything, every jot and tittle in order so that you can go peacefully, because that would have been a big help for a lot of the family members that really struggled this last year. So I'm glad that that legislation is passed. Now my mom will hopefully be able to get some of the funeral costs covered and all those things. So, but on a brighter note, 18 months is a terrible way to live your last days. I am thankful that my stepdad is now pain-free, that he's not suffering anymore, that that doesn't have those limitations. And I'm also thankful that my mom is going to get aspects of her life back. And is it going to be able to focus on herself? Because she is such an unbelievably unselfish person and has been my entire life. And watching her in the later steps have to be in so much pain, watching somebody that she loves in pain has been really difficult for all of her kids to have to watch her do that. I'm excited now at 62 years old, she's going to be able to regain some independence. I'm going to be able to take her to Hawaii. We've already have her coming out and spending 2 weeks with McCartney around birthday time and things like that. So this next aspect of her life is going to be wonderful. And I'm looking forward to that for her as well. And it's hard to say that you're glad, you know, but that suffering is unbearable for anybody who's ever gone through it. And sometimes death can be that release and you're released from your pain and struggles. And that's how I view what happened to my stepdad. So I'm not sure if I'll be on the show on Thursday or not. I think so. We're going to try to record early, but if I'm not, that's the reason why I have to go down to Florida. I'll be back here probably Thursday, I would imagine. But if not, I'll be back here on Monday for sure. Sound the retreat.